This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Contrary to what you might hear, okay, yes, fine on this program sometimes, but most times everywhere else, the Federal Reserve is not the only central bank in the world. You got Japan, you got the Bank of China, the Bank of England for sure. Also, the European Central Bank, which has arguably the toughest central bank job in the world, trying to set monetary policy across the 19 euro-using member states, each of which has its own particular macroeconomic needs. And so here is the present challenge for the ECB. During the pandemic, government debt kind of exploded in the eurozone, just like here, to be honest. And that was all well and good when the ECB was in quantitative easing mode, snapping up bonds of some of the heavily indebted countries over there, like Greece and Italy, Spain as well. Bond yields were low, pretty much the same also across the continent. But now with inflation having its way over there, quantitative easing is, as you know, a thing of the past. Bond yields are up and they are diverging across the continent. And so tomorrow, the ECB is due out with its plan to set things right. From the European desk in London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Last week in Brussels, a rare moment of rejoicing as Christine Lagarde, head of the European Central Bank, welcomed Croatia, the latest member state, to adopt the euro.
Congratulations. This is time for celebration. This is the 20th member of the euro area.
And Lagarde trumpeted the benefits of euro membership, especially in these troubled times.
The euro area and the euro in and of itself act as a shield, because united we are stronger.
30-folding! 30-folding!
But even as she spoke, the euro was plunging on the currency markets, falling to a 20-year low against the US dollar. Not surprising, really. While the Fed is highly likely to push interest rates up aggressively to combat inflation, hardly anyone expects the ECB to be anything like as tough. Stefan Legger is an economist with the University of St. Gallen in Switzerland.
The ECB is now between a rock and a hard place. It must fight inflation, that's the mandate, but the debt levels are too high to be able to afford higher interest rates.
In Greece, for example, public debt has topped 190% of GDP. The figure for Italy, the eurozone's third largest economy, is 150%.
The fear is back that Italy or Greece or some other countries will not be able to afford higher levels of interest and could go bankrupt.
Those fears have driven up the bond yields of the eurozone's most heavily indebted governments, making them diverge from those of the stronger economies. Lorenzo Codogno of the London School of Economics says it's rather reminiscent of the debt crisis that almost blew up the euro a decade ago.
Maybe a slightly different type of crisis, but it might develop again, given that the eurozone is still a fragile construction. The whole system is still pretty fragile.
Since the debt crisis, the ECB has calmed investor concerns by buying large amounts of those weaker, mostly southern eurozone government bonds, about $5 trillion worth. This kept bond yields low and prevented them from diverging. But the banks stopped these purchases this month because they were deemed to be fueling inflation. And that, says Sarah Fowler of Oxford Analytica, leaves the bank in a quandary.
Ultimately, it's hard to see how the ECB gets out of this cycle of the divergences just widening between northern and southern member states and the constant risk of a debt crisis not being that far away.
Tomorrow, the bank says it will raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years, and it will also unveil its plan for averting another debt crisis. None of the economists we consulted thought the euro's problems would be terminal, however. Stefan Legger said it's a trade-off. The problems are the price the EU is paying for a political symbol.
From an economic point of view, this whole euro area never made much sense. But it was not an economic project. It was a political project. It was a political symbol. We have a common currency.
The cost of that symbol, he says, could be higher inflation and a weaker currency than many of the northern member states, especially Germany, would prefer. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.